to Hero Hype, a Hypeable superhero podcast for all of your comic book and superhero-y needs. This is episode 20. We've made it all the way up to our 20th episode, which is great. As always, if you want to get hold of us at all, you can do so via our Twitter account, which is at Hero Hype Podcast. We always like to hear your feedback about the show and basically any thoughts that you are having about superheroes in general. Or, obviously, when this episode goes up on Hypeable, you can leave us a comment in the show notes. Today, I am joined by Marima.
It's me, Marima. I'm back.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
Yes. So, if you don't follow our Twitter account, you may not have heard Marima's news. Unfortunately, Marima is going to be leaving us as a regular host.
Yeah, sad times.
Yeah, very, very sad. A few people have commented and said that they are very upset that you are leaving. I think it suffices to say that I am too.
Yeah, I think the silent majority is probably very pleased, though. So good job, you guys. You've held out, and now you've got your award. You know, it's the Hero Hype Civil War. Unfortunately, John, you and I now hate each other, so we can't record anymore. I guess that would make Donya Iron Man and me Captain America. So I'm going with this analogy. This is great.
Oh my god.
Which would make Caitlin, that means you have to be Spider-Man. So joke's on you. But yeah, it's so, you know, I'm sorry I won't be able to make Hero Hype regularly, but I'm sure I'll pop up from time to time. And I'm very, very excited to have Caitlin joining us. Caitlin has done an amazing job on all of the episodes she has been on previously, and it's very exciting to have her on full time officially. And, you know, if you like your sarcasm with a bit less sarcasm and a bit more intelligent contribution, then Caitlin's your girl. And if not, you can find me on Twitter. So I'll just be doing that thing over there.
Yeah, so going forward, Caitlin and I will be hosting episodes together. But whenever Marima does have the time, be rest assured, we will have her on an episode or two or as many as we can possibly get her back on. So,
yeah.
Yay. So let's go straight into our episode then. I want to touch really, really quickly upon, and I know this is different than usual, some comments that we got on our Ant-Man episode. So both Ellie and George left us comments on the Hypeable post on the show notes for our Ant-Man special. Ellie's comment, if you guys get a chance to read it in full, is actually, you know, fairly fantastic and touches upon a lot of stuff that I think we've discussed previously regarding female superheroes in Hollywood. However, specifically, I want to address that when I made some comments in the last episode about Marvel essentially being afraid of putting forward a female superhero movie earlier and not wanting to take a risk, I didn't mention DC's Wonder Woman. Now, I will admit, I specifically did not mention Wonder Woman because it was a Marvel-specific episode. So I wanted to talk about Marvel specifically as an entity separate to DC and not how DC should influence and kind of change everything. So yes, I apologize that I did not mention Wonder Woman. I am very excited about it. In fact, I think DC is probably miles ahead of Marvel in terms of their cinematic universe and diverse casting and basically what they are trying to do. However, specifically in that Marvel-themed episode, I didn't think that it had a place just because it was a Marvel-themed episode. So I'm sorry I didn't mention Wonder Woman. I am excited for it. And yes, we will be talking about Wonder Woman a whole lot more as we come up towards everything happening with that.
Hey, when I was at Comic-Con, I haven't told the story on Hero Hype, but when the Batman vs. Superman trailer came out that, you know, they had it in the panel and then they released it, I there's like a couple of scenes of Wonder Woman in that, obviously, and I was just started yelling like Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, just in my hotel room, just like yelling a computer at the scenes that came on. So I'm officially crazy and very excited.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the biggest thing about the Batman versus Superman film that I'm like, that I'm so excited about is Wonder Woman. Like, even the, I think it was it TV Guide or Entertainment? I think it was TV Guide that did the special edition Comic-Con cover that had Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman on it. And Wonder Woman was in the middle. I can't remember if it was them or if it was Entertainment Weekly or it was one of the big magazines that had Wonder Woman essentially front and center. And I was super excited about that as well. Like, she is probably the driving force for me going to that movie. Like, I really want to see her. So it's not that I'm not excited and it's not that I don't want to give Wonder Woman attention. It's just that I didn't want to derail a Marvel-themed episode about Ant-Man specifically and Marvel specifically by going into a DC conversation. So, I'm sorry, guys. I will apologize for that. Yes, so let's jump straight into our TV news then. We're going to kick this off with a brief history. So, our brief history this week is for Vandal Savage. Now, Vandal Savage began his life as a caveman named Vandar Aj, leader of the Blood Tribe. When he came into contact with a meteor that crashed into Earth, he was bathed in radiation, which granted him unbelievable intellect and immortality. He eventually committed the first murder in the history of mankind, which made Savage Cain. Yes, the same Cain from the Bible. Following that, Vandal made his mark on every part of history, from the destruction of Atlantis to his despicable acts and rule over civilizations under the names of Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, Jack the Ripper, and Blackbeard, amongst loads of others. But he quickly made himself a dangerous nemesis to all of humanity. He also served time as an advisor to Hitler, Ra's al Ghul, and Napoleon. During the modern age, he frequently clashed with Barry Allen, and during a quest to recharge his powers, set his sights on killing Wally West to do so, who had taken over as the Flash. At that time, he operated an antique salon in New York before his true identity was discovered by a private investigator. Savage murdered the investigator, and during a showdown with Wally, fell out of a window, but disappeared before he hit the ground. Savage continues to come up against all manner of DC heroes throughout time and remains a formidable adversary to most.
And so we bring up Vandal Savage because he's going to be the big villain on Legends of Tomorrow, which is airing mid-season. That's, of course, the Flash and Arrow spinoff with that seemingly random cast of characters. And he has been cast. Our first big piece of news for this episode is that Danish actor Kasper Crump will play Vandal Savage in Legends of Tomorrow. He's going to make his debut in big Arrow and Flash crossover episode around mid-season, and then he'll go on to Legends of Tomorrow, where he'll be the big bad that everyone has gathered to defeat that we're hearing all this good stuff about. So I don't know much about this actor, but Donna had quite a strong reaction to the news. So you want to tell us a little more, Danya?
I did. Basically, he was in the Killing. Like, it's if you haven't seen it, it's so good. It's basically this amazing Danish series, and I highly recommend it for, like, anyone who's looking for, like, a really different, really intense show. But he was in that, and he was phenomenal. So, yeah, I'm super excited because he hasn't really acted in anything outside of, like, Danish TV and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see him get quite a substantial role that's probably going to put him to the forefront of, you know, most people's attention. So I'm super excited about it. Though Selena is probably going to be a little bit mad because it's another European cast as a bad guy.
Yes, that's true.
He has the greatest name I've probably ever heard. Like, I have no idea who he is, but that's an amazing name. That can't be real. There's no way that that is real.
Casper Crump is probably the better villain name than Vandal Savage.
I don't know. Vandal Savage is like the clues in the name, you know? It's like, what was that in the Muppets movie where Ricky Gervais plays the character and his last name is Bad Guy? You know, Savage. It's kind of the same thing. Just giving you a clue.
Vandal.
You
get that.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. I feel like we need to interrupt this hero hype. Didn't we just have some breaking news casting-wise?
We did. So just as we started recording, it was announced that Wally West has been cast for The Flash for season 2. Everyone's been very excited about that coming. So Keenan Lonsdale, who played Uriah in Insurgent, will be playing Wally West. He'll be a series regular on the show when he comes in. So breaking news, everybody.
He's Australian. So just some info there, some extra info.
So as I was going through the Vandal Savage brief history and all of this stuff and talking about the Wonder Woman stuff, Marimer and Caitlin were going, breaking news, Kid Flash. I had to keep the straightest damn face while I am trying not to bounce in place from happiness because I'm super into this casting. Like, he looks so good for Wally. Like, I'm, oh man.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, their casting has been on point. They're trying to take the crown for Marvel for, like, super awesome casting choices.
Yeah, the casting's
been quality. Yeah, I think this is fun. He was really good in Insurgent. I like him a lot. He was on this like Australian TV show called Defense Academy, which sounds dumb but is actually amazing. So everyone should watch it. And he's like this amazing dancer. And maybe that can like, tie into them making, you know, some kind of musical episode, which I'm just like begging for there to be on all of these shows at this point because like they've cast half of Broadway. So you know he could do some choreography that or something. I'm pretty sure that's why they was cast, not because he was like the best person for the job, because they were like, if you could just like choreograph a musical special on the side, it'd be great. But no, it looks great. I'm very excited for this.
So exciting news. So they're giving us like basically every speedster ever. We're just waiting to hear who's gonna play Zoom now. That's our biggest, I think it's our last big casting news. Yeah, you get a speedster. You get a speedster. Yeah, so we got Jake Eric and obviously Barry and now Wally, and we've had one reverse Flash and now we're waiting on another one. So Flash is everywhere and speedsters everywhere.
I mean, for a show called The Flash, you would hope that there would be speedsters in it. Yeah.
So one thing also from Legends of Tomorrow that I forgot to put in the doc, so a little surprise for everybody, is we also got casting for Hawkman. So we knew going in that we have Hawk Girl, who's played by Ciara Renee, and then they announced at Comic-Con that we would get Hawkman as well, and we know who will play it. It is Falk Henschel. He will play Hawkman, who is Carter Hall, who they're describing as the latest reincarnation of an Egyptian prince who is fated to be reborn throughout time alongside his soulmate, Kendra Saunders. Like Kendra, Carter can access the powers of the hawk god Horus, transforming him into the winged warrior known as Hawkman. So more and more going on. He will also be in that big Arrow Flash crossover at mid-season and then go on to Legends of Tomorrow. So those crossover episodes are going to be massively packed with people before they go on to Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be like the Civil War of TV episodes.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. The event for the crossover is it's going to have to be something like incredibly substantial. And I guess it's obviously going to echo out into its own show. So it's going to be huge, whatever they've got planned, and I'm kind of excited for it.
Oh, I totally am. I love the crossover episodes. I don't think I've made any secret of that. It's just funny because, like, I feel like this week especially, we've just had so much casting for all of the shows. And I actually, yeah, I was like, I was talking to a friend of mine who has just started watching Arrow, she's watched the first two seasons, and we were trying to work out like whether she should watch season 3 of Arrow or she should watch season 1 of The Flash. And I was like, I'm sure you can go online and like a Buffy Angel equivalent of like what order to watch the episode in so that you get the perfect thing. And then she was all confused. She was like, but Supergirl, like that's part of this, but Legends of Tomorrow is part of this, but it's the same people. But like, what's happening? It's so confusing. And I was like, just go with it. There's like every single person in the world is in these shows at the moment. So, you know, it's just funny getting casting at once. That's how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of exploding right now. So speaking of Supergirl and speaking of casting, we have a villain cast who will be Reactron. So Chris Browning will play Ben Krull, aka Reactron, who is a deadly adversary of Superman's from Metropolis. He wears an armored suit powered by nuclear energy, but because he was never able to defeat his rival, Krull has come to National City to get revenge on the Man of Steel by killing his cousin, Supergirl. So he'll show up in episode 3, and he has the potential to recur through the season. So that's one. We got a villain. Any thoughts on him?
I always feel bad because, like, I never know any of these actors who cast these shows. Like, I have nothing to compare. He looks good. I think the casting overall for across like all these shows is always generally pretty on point. So like I'm not concerned usually about the casting in general. I have to say though, I did the press for Supergirl at Comic-Con, and it just made me, if possible, even more excited for this show because we talked to one of the EPs and a lot of the cast, and they just seem to have such a great understanding of what they want the show to be. And, you know, if all of the casting or if all of the announcements are going to tie into that, then I'm so on board with it. So my enthusiasm is very high. And, you know, he looks good. I mean, that's a good villain. It would be a shame to just have him in an episode, I think. But, you know, if they bring him back, that'd be fun too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that it's a Superman villain as well. Like that, the villains are gonna cross over from Superman mythology into Supergirl. So even though we may not necessarily see Superman himself, we are gonna see like kind of the knock on effects of the people he's coming up against, maybe targeting Kara. As a way to kind of draw him out or find a weakness in him. And then obviously getting their asses handed back to them when Kara's kind of like, excuse you, I am not the weak link here.
Yeah,
I'm not a damsel in distress.
And it's a nice way for them to address the fact that, you know, obviously he exists in that world and not showing him. Because after the pilot, like, I can't imagine he's going to show up a whole lot. And that's kind of an obvious gap, you know, to be like, okay, the Superman's here. He's just, oh, he couldn't be here right now. Like, he's washing his hair or whatever. So, you know, the fact that they are kind of tying his story in with hers, even if he's kind of in the periphery, I think that's a good decision. That's, like, a good way to handle that.
Yeah, by having people like Jimmy as well, James Olsen and that coming across and having the connection through them.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get out of the habit of calling him Jimmy, so.
He corrected someone in the press. It was pretty funny. He was like, James also. James now.
Awesome. So we have one more big piece of casting for Supergirl, which is that Jenna Dewan Tatum, who was in Witches of East End, an American Horror Story, among a few other things, will be playing Lucy Lane, the young sister of Lois Lane. So she's being described as brash, funny, and as beautiful as her older sister. She's strong, smart, and successful in her own right, and she is one of James Olsen's exes. So she's coming to National City to right a previous wrong. So do we have thoughts on bringing in Lucy? There's another connection to Superman.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to say, you know, the other thing about Supergirl that I find somewhat annoying is, like, I don't know who's writing these casting calls, but it reminds me of when they put out the description for Kara and they were like, even though she has a ponytail and glasses, like, she's still beautiful. You know, it's like this, I'm just like, don't worry, she's as beautiful as Lois Lane. Like, don't worry about it. We weren't going to cast some, like, really ugly person. Like, we get it, guys. It's fine. Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, she looks fine. I do without the disclaimer, I guess, in the description.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't know. Yeah, like you said, I don't know who's writing them. You kind of look at them and you kind of go, but, you know, I'm excited for the actual characters, which I think in the end is what it's going to come down to rather than their kind of little blurbs. The blurbs for most shows for their characters, I'm never overly impressed with. Like, sometimes the Teen Wolf ones are a little bit ridiculous as well, and I'm just like, they're going, who is writing these, and why did they allow you near a computer?
Right, yeah, that, I mean, you know, I have no issue with the casting. I just meant as a general note, I'm not sure who's writing theirs in particular. I think the nice thing about Supergirl is that we're going to get some of these more minor characters bumped up to larger roles, which is fun. I mean, Supergirl herself is, you know, a superhero who is not usually thought of. So I think that's nice, like, have the space to develop the other characters who people are possibly less familiar with. And I would say Lucy Lane is a case of that. So that's a nice inclusion. And, you know, drama with Jimmy / James Olsen. See how that goes.
That's what I was going to say. Are we going to get a love triangle now?
Oh, I hope not.
Although, hoping not as well.
Previous work from its creators would suggest probably yes, we will be getting a love triangle.
I'm kind of hoping not. I'm kind of hoping that maybe the breakup was amicable and they're just friends. Like, I'd like to see them take that angle where they're able to just be friends. And I don't know. I think it would be something refreshing and different from them. So I will hold out hope. I will be the optimist.
I think you could be optimistic to the point of foolish, but, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Ouch. Oh, Civil War.
Hey, I'm dead, man. Like, I'm a dead man walking, so you want.
All right, well, we'll have to wait and see what's coming there. And if there's a love triangle, you can bet that we will talk about it when that shows up. But a couple of casting news. One of these is going to get Danya really excited, I know, is that we have a Teen Wolf alum coming to Arrow. What J.R. Bourne is going to play a metahuman named Double Down, whose powers let him turn his playing card tattoos into weapons. And he'll show up in a single episode, it looks like. So episode 3. Danya, you want to squeal?
I was already kind of half squealing over part of your announcement because I couldn't contain myself. I'm so excited to see J.R. Bourne getting more roles in like kind of genre shows. Like, I think he really shines in stuff like that. He was also in Stargate, and he was phenomenal in that as well. Like, he's so good. He's such a good actor, and it's always such a shame when he doesn't get like bigger roles, and I'm really excited to see him like cross over into superhero land. I'm like, yay, so great. Also, he has a lot of tattoos anyway, but usually in shows they have to obviously cover them all up because the characters that he plays typically don't have them. So it's going to be really, really cool to see how maybe they incorporate some of the ones that he already has and add some more.
Plus, I think it's fun we're getting metahumans on Arrow as the villains. Like, that's a
yes.
Fun
act.
We've had one, and then they brought him back over to the pipeline at the very end of the episode. So it's really showing that connection between the shows.
I mean, yeah. Double Down's kind of power, if you think about it, is pretty damn gruesome. Like, it literally rips the flesh off of his body. Like, that's what happens. The playing cards come off, but it rips and leaves, like, raw flesh, and it's really disgusting. So it's kind of the metahuman power that fits really well with Arrow's kind of more, inverted commas, gritty gritty theme.
And wannabe syndrome. But you know, season 4 is meant to be a little lighter, isn't it? So maybe they won't go quite as dark with how the powers manifest. Because, I mean, I like the way that it is, but I don't know if that would necessarily tie in with what they're going for. But, you know, as I said before, I really enjoy the crossover between the two. So the fact that we might be seeing more crossover even without, like, the characters themselves, just, like, the worlds crossing over, that's really exciting for me.
And in the comics, this character starts off as more of a Flash villain, so maybe we'll see him back on the Flash or something, potentially.
Oh, please. That would be so great.
We can hope.
I mean, surely, like, all right, he needs to get his name, so he has to be Cisco at some point.
Exactly. Exactly. And Cisco's going to have fun with that one.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I miss him.
So, yeah, he'll be back in 2 months. It's longer than we might like. Okay, our last piece of casting news on the DC side of television is also for Arrow, and we have a Star Trek Voyager alum, Jeri Ryan, who will be playing a character named Jessica Danforth. She was a friend of the Queen family, but her political ambitions will place her in the crosshairs of a menacing antagonist. So she's showing up in episode 2 of season 4, which is titled The Candidate. So it sounds like she might be a candidate for mayoral positions. As we saw in the last season, the mayor was murdered. So
7 of 9. Yes. She's like, I'm Star Trek trash. I've already covered this before on previous episodes.
This is your week of casting, Dee.
It is my week of casting. It is my week of casting. I'm super excited because, yes, I loved 7 of 9 in Star Trek Voyager. So I'm so, so, so happy to see her coming back and being on the Arrow as, like, a character who, when we kind of got... a little tease that there was going to be a female character, a mayoral candidate coming in who was connected to Moira Queen previously. So it's really, really cool that we're seeing an awesome, awesome actress coming in to play that role, potentially.
So interesting about this talking about... she is also described as being as caring for her daughter above all else. So who could that be? I wonder if it's someone we've met, because it seems interesting that they would bring that up if it's not somebody we've met yet.
We'll see. Yes.
We've met most of the characters' mothers or their dad morbidly. But
yeah. Twist.
It's interesting.
She's Thea's mother.
Yeah.
no more parental drama.
I know, exactly.
Hey, if she has connection to the Queens and we might get, you know, some flashbacks with her, like with Moira or whatever, do you think we're gonna get Tommy flashbacks with them? Because, like, that would make sense. I'm just putting it out there. I'm never over this. I'll never be over this.
No. Never. It's our one constant.
Yeah.
The day ends in Y, Marim is still in love with Tommy.
And sad. That's true.
Yes.
I love it. I can't hide it. Although, my friend who I mentioned before has just gotten into Arrow, I guess, is a big fan of Stephen Amell because she keeps sending me that gif of him doing that, like, workout where he, like, puts the bar up the ladder. I know what that's called. With his, you know,
salmon ladder.
Yeah, she keeps sending me that gif just like over and over again. And I'm like, yep, no, I do miss this show too. So, I mean, for the character development and, you know, the critique on modern society, it's really, really what I'm there for.
Oh, yeah, all for the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, taking a break from all of the DC casting news, we did get some casting for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3. So, Constance Zimmer is going to be joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In a role where she is set to go toe-to-toe with Coulson. And the character hasn't been named yet, but it is apparently going to be a significant one. So, yeah. That's going to be quite interesting.
This is amazing. I love her so much. I'm obsessed with Unreal now, but I also loved her and like everything else that she's ever been on. And if she was going toe-to-toe with Coulson, I feel like she would win. Like, she would win against anyone. She's the best. She's such a badass. So this is very exciting.
I have not seen Unreal yet, so...
It's pretty fantastic.
You should.
A lot of people have told me to... It's just, amongst everything else, it's finding the time.
Yeah. I think consistently, like, she's amazing in everything that I have seen her in. So I'm excited for this. Like, it's in House of Cards and The Newsroom. And she even made Entourage, like, bearable for a few episodes. So that's saying something. And she was in Boston Legal. And oh, I just love her so much. She's so fabulous. And, yeah, I think she'll kill it. She seems like a good fit for the cast as well.
Yeah, and she's already been on set. So about half an hour ago, she tweeted out her chair from the set. So
breaking news.
Yeah, so she's on set currently and filming. So,
oh my God. Ah, she's on set while we're talking. That's so exciting. Why am I finding that exciting? I genuinely felt like a rush of excitement then. Like, I can't explain that. Okay, whatever. Let's move on before I embarrass myself further.
Yes. So.
Unreal.
Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, so very, very briefly, the last bit of TV news that we've got is that the first trailer for the animated Guardians of the Galaxy series has been released. It, honestly, the trailer looks amazing. It still doesn't do the actual show justice. I got the opportunity to see the first episode of the premiere when I was at San Diego Comic-Con. It is beautifully animated. It captures all of the fun of the actual movie. So anyone who loved the movie is going to absolutely adore the animated show. So I highly recommend at least checking out the trailer. And they posted the origins of Star-Lord as well, which is in two little parts, about 2 minutes each video. So give it a watch, see if it's for you, but I highly recommend it.
Cool. All right, it's movie time. What else could we possibly be talking about this week except Deadpool? Deadpool is here. It's so exciting. I saw the trailer a couple weeks ago at Comic-Con. Actually, I saw it twice because everyone in the room just, like, started chanting one more time. And, like, they basically had to disrupt the panel and play it again. And then the trailer got a standing ovation. So, good times. Finally, the trailer was released for everyone. It premiered with Conan. I'm pretty sure they had to up the rating of Conan for the evening so that they could play it, which I find very funny. So, yeah, I have watched this probably 1,000 times since it came out. And, it's okay, whatever. Like, no, it's so good. I'm so excited about this. But as you guys see the Comic-Con one, I'm curious as to what you thought.
Oh my God. I didn't get a chance to go to the actual panel where they showed the Deadpool trailer at Comic-Con. More fool me, I should have. But I did manage to catch a very grainy, shaky cam version of it when it, you know, inevitably leaked online. And, you know, I was fairly impressed with it from the shaky cam version. Seeing it in beautifully glorious HD with crystal clear sound was glorious. Like, I cannot express how happy I am with how they've captured the Deadpool from the comics on the screen. It was just the right amount of fourth wall breaking and keeping it grounded in its own narrative. So the jokes were just on point, and the violence was enough without being like gratuitous, I guess. So all in all, yay, two thumbs up.
I can't believe you watched the grainy, like, leaked version. That's such a bad way to experience Deadpool for the first time.
I was desperate.
But you have self-control, so, yeah, desperate
I have
for Deadpool.
Zero.
I feel that.
Yeah. Zero self-control.
Yeah, it's really worth pointing out as well. It's not the exact trailer that they released at Comic-Con. The Comic-Con trailer had a couple more scenes in it, but it's basically, you know, you get most of it in this.
So we didn't get all of it? That's hardly fair. Because what we thought was so
good. What did you think, Caitlin? Yeah.
I liked it. I think maybe my expectations were a little too high after all the raving from Comic-Con, though, so I wasn't, like, blown away, but I enjoyed it very much, and I'm looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, I think, I was definitely guilty of that. Like, we started at Comic-Con. It was just such a crazy experience to watch it with, like, 6,500 people who were all screaming for a trailer, you know, and like all of the X-Men cast came out at the end and everyone was just like, whatever, like, can you play Deadpool again? Can we watch that for a third time, please? So, some like mania of that moment, I think contributed to some of the reviews, but I'm glad you didn't think that we were like totally exaggerating or anything. And the trailer that they showed there, you know, it was the same trailer, just had a couple other things cut into it. Basically it had, you got a bit of a look at some of the other cast. So we had a look at Colossus and also Negasonic Teenage Warhead in that because, you know, I get a cast war on stage and like they wanted to show people what they were going to look like and, you know, see a little mini interaction with Deadpool. And Janya can obviously speak to this as she has watched the footage, but, you know, I think they also looked really, really good. And I'm sure we'll see, you know, that scene or a look at them in the next trailer that they released. But it made sense for the first one to focus on Wade. So, you know, I think it's probably why they left them out.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I mean, they've got to save some of the footage for the next few trailers as well. So I'm not too disappointed that they cut a couple of bits out, especially because they can refocus those other trailers to kind of look at other characters and introduce other characters slowly. I mean, they're going to reuse a lot of footage, obviously, in the trailers to not give too much away. So, yeah, I'm not too disappointed. And also, you know, if you show up to San Diego Comic-Con and you're not press and you've gone through the epic battle of trying to get tickets, you know, they've got to give you at least some perks for actually making it out.
I mean, since you're press doesn't mean you can, like, walk into the hall, although that is what I did.
No, that's true.
In general, it doesn't mean that you can just walk into the hall. You know, I think the fun thing about Deadpool in terms of promotion, though, is that they showed the, you know, the teaser for the trailer, as it were, because he can't break the fourth wall. Like, they can shoot a whole lot of really fun promotional material just with Ryan Reynolds, like, speaking to camera, which is fun because it, you know, just adds another element to what they can do. And I think people really enjoy seeing him, like, address the audience as well. So, you know, he has that little scene at the end of the Fantastic Four trailer. To make people go and see the movie. So that's what's happening with Deadpool. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a lot more. Obviously, it isn't out until 2016, but I think it's safe to say we're all feeling very enthusiastic about it. Too far away. Another Fox thing, sticking with X-Men. We did see our first X-Men Apocalypse trailer that was released at Comic-Con, but, you know, that will, I'm sure, come out at some point. Don't worry about it. But we have some images that have been released of the new cast members in particular. Did you guys check these out?
No, I have not tweeted this. I haven't tweeted this out yet, but, like, oh my god, everyone looks so great.
Yeah,
I want to cry.
I'm particularly a big fan of Jean Grey and Jubilee, I have to say, of these images. and of what we saw in the footage as well.
Yes. Yeah, so for me, my standouts are obviously Jean Grey. Jubilee, she's wonderful. Like, she is everything that I could have hoped for, and then some more. And also Storm. Storm is fantastic. And the Mohawk. I am so happy that they brought in Storm's Mohawk. Like, I'm not getting over that ever, and I'm absolutely in love with it, because I love her Mohawk in the comics as well. So I'm so glad that that is the aesthetic that they are bringing to the movies.
Oh, yeah. Storm looks great. So Cyclops looks so young. He looks like he's 12 years old. No offense to the actor. He just, I don't know, for some reason, he looks especially young to me.
Yeah.
Caitlin, any thoughts on any of these?
I mean, I just want to give a shout out to Magneto's lumbersexual look that he's got going on. Very much a lumberjack kind of look.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, get ready for a bit of that. So, you know, they'd only been filming for, I guess, a couple of weeks before Comic-Con. So they showed a trailer based on that footage, which looked really good, but the CGI wasn't finished. So they are working on the CGI, and then can expect the trailer in the next few weeks, I would imagine. So that's exciting for X-Men fans. And yeah, from memory, Magneto, he's definitely rocking the beard in all of the footage that we saw. So, you know, maybe like he has a makeover halfway through or something, and then he like rediscovers himself because, you know, he's just, you know. But yeah, everything that I've seen from this, everything they showed at Comic-Con, looks really good. I'm a big X-Men fan, as I've mentioned 1,000 times. So it's exciting times.
Yeah. So still on the X-Men theme, but moving into the X-Men spinoff, Gambit. Whereas most of the rest of the casting news this week had been really exciting for me, on the movie side, they decided to almost give me a heart attack by saying that Channing Tatum may be exiting the Gambit movie. Now, regardless of what you think of the casting choice of Channing Tatum for Gambit, his passion for the role is what makes me more excited for the movie. Like, he very clearly cares about this character. And without that passion, we wouldn't be as far along in production on the movie, and we probably wouldn't be seeing it as soon. So I was then very heartened to find out that he has definitely signed on the dotted line. It's a done deal. The end. He is definitely going to be Gambit in the movie, and the movie is still going to come out at the time and date that they said that it would. But yeah. Please, please don't do stuff like that to me. Don't be like, yeah, we're getting this guy, and then, oh no, he's totally pulling out of it. Don't give me that heart attack. That's not fair.
You know, I feel like people don't give Channing Tatum enough credit for what he has done to get Gambit happening. Like, you know, Deadpool, in a way, everyone kind of attributes that success to Ryan Reynolds' passion for it. And I think it's comparable with Channing Tatum and Gambit, you know, on a slightly smaller scale, obviously, because there isn't the huge wave of fans for this as there is Deadpool. But, you know, I don't, like, dislike Channing Tatum. I think I have said before, like, I always thought it was a little bit of a weird casting choice, but, you know, whatever. That said, I have to say I wasn't, like, super worried when those rumors came out, because he was at Comic-Con as well. They didn't have anything with Gambit, but they brought him out on stage at the end. And I feel like they wouldn't have done that unless he had, like, basically signed on, you know, because that would have been super awkward otherwise.
Yeah, could you imagine that? It's like, Hey, here's this guy. He's going to be playing Gambit. We're taking him to Comic-Con where he gets to talk about all this stuff. Oh, lol, JK.
It'd be a very Sony move, I feel. Like, something up to that degree.
Ooh.
Oh, Ben. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Sony, I guess we'll continue on that story. Unless, Caitlin, you wanted to add something about Gambit.
I don't really know the character. I have a very soft spot for Channing Tatum as a human being. So I am all for having reasons to go see him in the theater.
All right. There you go. Okay. So, with Sony and Marvel, we have some Spider-Man news, our favorite part of Hero Hype. You know, it wouldn't be a good final episode of Hero Hype I didn't get to talk about Spider-Man. So, like, the universe is shining on me today. There have been reports this week that although we initially thought Spider-Man would just be having a cameo in Captain America Civil War, that he'll actually be having a larger role. Tom Holland, who's been cast as Spider-Man, he's been on the set, but it's also been a stuntman on the set, and the stuntman has been sticking around for a while. So people are wondering if that means, you know, he's going to have a larger role than we thought. My thoughts on this is that I don't know if that's necessarily indicative, because basically anything that Spider-Man does needs a stuntman. So unless they introduce him by him, like, walking up and being like, hey, what's up, guys, in, like, his jeans and his jacket, like, they're going to need a stuntman. And, you know, I think they're probably going to give him a – they want to give him a memorable introduction, bringing him back to Marvel. People are very excited about it. So I think he'll be in, you know, not in, like, not a Stan Lee kind of cameo. He'll definitely be in C, as it were. But I don't know if that necessarily means he'll be having a larger role. This is just me wishful thinking, like, because if any more characters are bumped up to having bigger roles, like, it will be Civil War featuring Captain America. That's what this has become, because, you know, he's basically not in his own movie at all. But whatever, I'm not bitter. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think you're necessarily wrong in regard to just because the stuntman has been seen on set doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a bigger role. I mean, depending on how good the shots were that they got, you know, it may have needed refilming or reshoots. So it's not entirely unheard of that they may have needed the stuntman back on set again, whereas they may not have needed Tom Holland himself. So there's no way of really knowing. You know, for some people, this will be amazing news. For others, it's going to be a little less exciting, if only because I want to see a little bit more Captain America in my Captain America movie.
Yeah.
What, you want Cap in a Cap movie?
I heard actually Steve Rogers will be having a cameo in the film. So, you know, it's all fine. Don't worry about it.
We can look out for those 30 seconds. Keep your eyes.
Yeah, he'll be in there. He'll be in the end credits scene.
it's funny because
it's sad because it's true.
It's unfortunately getting closer to the truth. Okay, so moving on from Marvel, we have a little bit of DC movie news. We got some more pictures from Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. So we have already gotten a bunch, but we got a few more. We see Diana looking pretty baller in a white suit, and Bruce and Alfred, and Lois and Clark, and then Batman and Superman kind of squaring off in some behind-the-scenes pictures. So just kind of more of the same. Also, Lex with his horrible wig that I'm just never going to be over on a basketball court. So just...
Oh my god, I didn't see the wig. Oh god.
I think the Arrow season one props box and got Oliver's island wig from season one.
That's the same wig. Wow.
Do you know, I'm actually loving some of these stills. Like, the white suit is amazing. For a start, I'm kind of loving, I'm really enjoying, like, the casual wear looks that they've all got going on. Like, I'm really liking those. I like their civvies. But that wig is just tragic.
Oh, Batfleck, he's just so large. Like, he looks ridiculous. He's like two people in that suit. He's like the Hagrid of superheroes. He's so much bigger than everyone else there. Like, I don't find that funny.
Like, in like the framing where he's like across from Superman, it doesn't look that bad. It doesn't look that big. There's the one where, like, Superman's got his back to it and you've got Batman a little bit further down the foreground. Like, that one, actually, he doesn't look massive in there. Some of the ones where it's like really close up shots of him. Like, he looks massive. So I'm wondering if it's just the framing of the shot that's making him look bigger rather than what we'll actually see when it comes to screen. Because, yeah, some of them he looks ridiculously large in, and some of them he looks absolutely fine. Like, he just looks heavily armored, which, you know, for someone without superpowers and so on, like, I wouldn't necessarily say that's too far removed from what we should expect. Because, you know, he needs to make sure that he doesn't get impaled or anything ridiculous. So.
Oh, it totally makes sense. I find it really funny, and I just can't help it. Also, Ben Affleck, he looks tired. It's fun with him. Like, he looked very Batman-y, very bad about his life. So, got that on point, I would say.
I'm, like, getting more and more excited about Ben Affleck as Batman, which is a weird feeling, but the more I see of him, the more I like him.
Yeah. Same. The more I'm seeing of this movie, like, I'm cautiously getting more and more excited.
Yeah, I think, you know, the title of the movie will never not be the dumbest title ever for a movie, but whatever, Wonder Woman in it. I don't even care about anyone else. Like, Wonder Woman's in it, she's wearing an awesome suit, she's just being awesome in the trailer. Like, if she just be in it the whole time, that would be fine with me. Obviously, we're all going to see it.
Oh, there are dudes in this too? What?
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
So, briefly, speaking about Wonder Woman, we have got the filming dates and a few more details released for that, as well as for Justice League. So, Wonder Woman is going to begin shooting later this year in London, and will hit theatres on June 23rd, 2017, with Justice League coming out on November 12th. And then part two of Justice League is going to hit theatres on June 14th, 2019. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting that we've actually got solid dates and filming times now. So, hey, it's happening. It's happening. It's coming out. They can't go back on it now. We're getting it. It's exciting, and I'm super stoked for it. So, yes.
Right. It's just proof. Like I think we've said, the more they announce, the less chance of them cancel it at the last minute. So any details, good details.
Speaking of disappointments, though, from previously and things that we may not be so excited for, Fantastic Four's first reviews have started trickling out onto the World Wide Web, and they're not so good. They are slamming it. Like, they are not being kind about this film at all, which for a lot of people won't be surprising. However, I was starting to hype myself up for it a little bit, and maybe it was premature, but you know what? I know. I am going to still reserve judgment until I manage to get to the cinema to see it for myself. So, we will see.
No, I'm at the point where, like, I don't even know if I'm going to bother seeing it. I think it comes out today in Australia, but I was not excited about it previously, and the reviews have done nothing to enthuse me further. So, part of me is like, why would I waste, like, 2 hours watching this movie that I don't think I'll enjoy? In fact, I'm pretty certain I won't enjoy. I don't know. I'm still deciding.
I'm still going to go and see it.
Yeah, no, you will, but I might do like a spur of the moment thing. I'll see. It's definitely not high on my priority list, that's for sure.
And lastly, the Avengers Age of Ultron Blu-ray is due to come out on October the 2nd, and it's going to have lots of extra goodies for Avengers fans, including deleted scenes, making of featurettes, a gag reel, because everybody loves a good gag reel, and audio commentary as well. So, however, we're not getting a director's cut, which a lot of people had assumed that we might, considering Joss Whedon had been mentioning that he'd cut a lot of footage from the film. But at least we're getting some deleted scenes, and I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of those. Maybe seeing some of those and kind of bringing them into, like, my canon of, like, the Avengers itself might help sway my opinion of the movie a little bit. We shall see. But that's it for all of the news and headlines since we last recorded. Lots and lots of casting out of all of that. But Yeah, it was great. Let's move on to quotes. So I think there's going to be a theme running through our quotes of the week. Caitlin, do you want to go first?
Sure. Mine comes from the Deadpool trailer, and it's Deadpool when he gets super serious all of a sudden and says, "Daddy needs to express some rage." I liked it.
That was a great impression.
Caitlin is very good at impressions. Very good. Any rewatchable fans will be beloved by her impression of the boulder from Avatar. So, yeah. Yeah, she's very well known for her impressions. Marima, do you want to go with your quote?
Sure, for something different. Mine is from the Deadpool trailer. And because I couldn't transcribe the entire trailer to put here, I went for the Green Lantern dig when he says, "Please don't make the super green or animated." And at that point, I think everyone just cried with laughter in Hall H when they showed it. And again, when it came online.
Yeah, it's just, there were so many great lines in it. But speaking about digs at former movies, mine isn't from the actual trailer, it's from the trailer teaser that we got. And here we go, I'm going to be upping the rating on this episode because I'm dropping an F-bomb, guys. So it was when he said from the studio that inexplicably sewed his fucking mouth shut the first time. And I lost it. Like, it got to that bit and I was dying. So I'm loving
the level of self-awareness with this is so on point.
It is. It really, really is. And I'm hoping we see a little bit more of that in the actual movie, because seriously, the fourth wall breaking with Deadpool is one of my absolute favorite things ever. So I'm glad that they're going with it.
In the trailer when he's drawing the picture, that's like my favorite part of that whole trailer, but there was no dialogue in it, so I can put it as a quote, but he's drawing the picture of him like punching a bad guy.
Yeah, I love it. Oh man, it's
that was good. Like in that the test footage they showed, and he draws a picture of him like cutting the guy's head off and then flips and he like shows them the picture and everyone was like, "This movie is gonna be so good," and definitely continue.
Yeah. Oh, man. So many Deadpool feelings. So, Comic Corner, guys. This week, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm not going to be focusing on one specific character, as someone on our Twitter account called Jewel asked, on a future episode, can you guys talk about what comic series you currently follow or are currently reading? So, I can't speak for Marima or Caitlin, but you've seriously opened a can of worms here. I can't mention all of the ones that I'm following. That would be impossible. We would be here for forever. My pull list per week is massive. Like, I'm talking 2 pages long, usually, in a Word document. But it is mostly made up of Marvel stuff that I will recommend you, though I am mad, like really mad at Marvel this week for retconning a canonically bisexual character called Hercules as straight. So now that they've deemed he can have his own series, apparently he can no longer be bisexual. So I'm a little bit mad at Marvel for that. But I will say that I was following Matt Fraction's and David Aja's Hawkeye series. Surprise, surprise that I'm starting off with that. Recently wrapped up with volume 22. So there were a lot of horrific scheduling delays, but it was like emotionally devastating for me, like both in the actual story and just the fact that it was over. So I've probably reread this series more times than I can count, and anyone who asks me for Marvel recommendations, this entire series is the first suggestion out of my mouth. Like, I can't sing its praises high enough. It really took some bold directions in the way that it told stories, and I'm still blown away by some of the issues that they released. So Hawkeye bias aside, it is seriously one of the best titles that Marvel has put out in recent years. But the other series that I am currently following is All New Hawkeye, which is by the former Green Arrow helmer Jeff Lemire, which is 4 issues in. And the best thing about it is that it's not trying to be a clone of Fractions and Ahaz series, but it is just as good. I was a little bit nervous going in because the depth and breadth by which I loved its predecessor was unfathomable. But it flashes back seamlessly between Clint and Barney's younger years, Barney being Clint's brother, and Clint and Kate, Kate being the other Hawkeye, their adventures in the present time. The art is absolutely breathtaking and the writing is polished and affecting. Like, I've fallen in love with it already. Also following the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, hear me out, because the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is probably one of the most fun, happy, and genuine comics out there right now. It's a superhero comic with, like, the perfect balance of humor and whimsy, and it's completely stolen my heart. So every time I get a new issue in my hands, I'm smiling, and I don't stop smiling, even after I've put it down. It's got really punchy dialogue and beautifully expressive art. So do yourself a favor, check out the first issue at the very least, because you won't be disappointed. Another Marvel series that I'm following is Miss Marvel. This series is Eisner Award nominated for Best New Series for a reason. It may seem a little strange for me to say this, but Miss Marvel feels real. Like, both Kamala herself and, like, all of the characters that surround her. Every issue is gorgeous from start to finish. The writing is witty and heartfelt, and the series is just downright charming. Kamala is everything I'd been hoping for from Marvel, and then some more. And I'm always eagerly anticipating her next adventure, to the point where I've pre-purchased issues, and there aren't many comics that I do that for. Next one that I'm following pretty closely is Constantine the Hellblazer. Obviously, you guys know my deep and unwavering love for Constantine. Boo, I'm still upset about the show. But this one's only 2 issues in, and I kind of found the narration a little dense in the first issue, but I still really loved the way that they set up his return. The introduction was perfect, like, seriously perfect. The art style is a really interesting contrast to the occult themes, and they're definitely not shying away from John's bisexuality in this one, but they're not being heavy-handed about it. The second issue was absolutely transfixing, and I was hooked, like, from cover to cover, and I'm really, really excited for Volume 3. Really quick honorable mentions: New Black Widow, Runaways, Planet Hulk, A-Force, Captain Marvel, Bucky Barnes the Winter Soldier, Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Black Canary, and for something a little different, but we did an episode on with one of the artists, Lumberjanes. Like, that is a very short list, though, guys. Very short.
Yeah, I think Joel, you may have misunderstood Joanna's obsession with comics. Like, she cannot. That I'm very impressed that you managed to narrow it down to the few. Like, that must have been a hell of a task for you.
It was.
But good job.
It was so hard to pick out, like, just a few. And that's and I stuck here, guys. Like, you've got to understand, I stuck to superhero themed ones. That's not including all of the tiny little indie comics that I follow. Like, and I follow a lot of, like, really off the wall, kind of weird and wonderful, independently published stuff as well. So, yeah. If you saw, like, my comic book collections of single issues, you would probably, like, you'd either be impressed or horrified or a little bit of both.
Yeah. I guess I would add to that, I have been reading nothing recently because I don't have a life, but I have been reading most recently Hawkeye, which I didn't even realize had finished. So that shows how out of the loop I have been, but I've been, you know, traveling and everything. So I'll catch up on that. And I've also been reading Wonder Woman. I have been reading some of the Hawkeye vs. Deadpool
specials, which I've found you need to have read some Hawkeye and some Deadpool before you read those, or like they don't make any sense. So yeah, I would second those recommendations as well.
Yeah, Hawkeye versus Deadpool was fantastic. Oh, so good. I love that as well.
Yeah, it is good. Not as good as Wonder Woman. The current Wonder Woman is, get on that. I would really recommend that.
Current Wonder Woman is amazing. Caitlin, have you picked up any comics recently? Or no? Yes?
Ever?
Or ever?
I have downloaded all of the issues of Arrow Season 2.5 and The Flash Season 0 and haven't read any of them. So they're all sitting on my Kindle Fire waiting for me to actually read them.
Caitlin's been busy. She's been busy doing Hero Hype homework and watching like all the Marvel TV shows. So she gets a pass for the week.
She does. We will touch on thoughts about that at some point as well. I think maybe when you've wrapped up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2.
So, like, tomorrow.
Well, so I guess on the next episode, then, we'll get all of your thoughts on that. But I will say that for tie-in comics to a TV show or movie, like, usually they're not amazing. They're not great. Sometimes the art's a little bit hit and miss. Sometimes the writing's a little bit convoluted. But the Arrow and Flash ones specifically are really, really great. Like, I really enjoyed them. So
I should check those out. I haven't read those.
Yeah, they're good.
Check those out when I have some time. That could be the next one.
Yeah. So let's go into our feedback. We have quite a bit. People got really involved again. So Shelby went and said, if Fantastic Four sucks, can I suggest just going to see Mission Impossible 5 after, like a palate cleanse? It's pretty sick. Yes, because my secret obsession with the Mission Impossible movies, particularly the ones that feature Jeremy Renner, is pretending that he's Hawkeye undercover, which immediately, even though the Mission Impossible movies are fantastic, like on their own, especially the one previous to this was really, really great, you know. That kind of adds another silly level to it that just ups my enjoyment that little bit more. So, yes.
You would, Danya.
I would, yeah.
You would. I'm so not surprised by that.
No. I'm probably not the only one. There are probably other people who do that as well. So let's see. Andrew Goodman says, I'm only on the second episode of Hero Hype Podcast, so you may not actually hear us reading your comment out for a little while. Andrew, so hi from the future. But he says, and based on the opinions I'm hearing, I think I'm the only person ever who dislikes Sarah Lance.
Yes, you are.
Correct.
Yeah, I kind of like Sarah as well. Sorry, but if you have
kind of.
Andrew, yeah, when you get to this episode, eventually, give us a rundown. Like, tell me why. Like, what is it about Sarah that you don't particularly like? I'd be interested to hear your opinion. I'm always interested to hear other views of shows. So yeah.
And then brace yourself for Caitlin's wrath.
But I'd really like to hear. So get on that. Drop us a comment, or if you want to send us an email, we are herohypepodcast@gmail.com. Really simple to remember. Let's see. Blaze Anderson. Hey, Blaze. Says, listening to the latest ep, and Danya, I love Lady Sif and Thor together too. I waxed poetic a little bit about how much I love them together in the comics, and I wouldn't necessarily hate them bringing that across to the movies. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Lady Thor, that's another good comic, right?
Yes. Yes. That's wrapped up now, and it's moved into a new series called Thors. So it's got a couple of different Thors, and it's still great. So we're still getting
it. I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
Need to finish that.
It's good. It's really, really good. So last week we asked you, or last episode, because we've had another episode in between, we said, in the spirit of Legend of Tomorrow, what moment in time would you like to travel back to? And we had a couple of We had a couple of answers. Caitlin, do you want to take some of these?
Sure. Joe would like to travel to ancient Greece. I'd say medieval Europe, but, you know, the plague. Totally hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My Elizabeth's would every moment where the big bosses pass on a Black Widow movie so that I can punch them in the face. That is a good one.
Fantastic.
And then Michael would travel back to the 1920s Prohibition era New York to see the rise of organized crime. I love the way they dressed. Could get some good duds there.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very true. So for this week's question of the week, I would like to know if you could see another R-rated superhero movie make it to the big screen, which would you choose? So as always, you can just drop us a comment on at Hero Hype Podcast or leave us something in the show notes when this episode goes up. Do you guys have one that you'd like to see?
R-rated Black Widow.
That's what I was going to say.
I will say something slightly different. I would like to see an adaptation of something called Next Wave, Agents of Hate, who are basically like an anti-terrorism organization, and they're pretty violent. It's like a really dark comedy. So that's something that I would really love to see. Or X-Force. X-Force would be quite interesting. Just,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For
X-Force
something
would
like
be cool.
Cable. Yeah. But also that's got Shatterstar and Richter in there, who are both queer characters, or at least somewhere on the spectrum. Shatterstar is up for debate versus one creator thinking he was asexual versus another thinking bisexual and polyamorous. So there's a lot of debate there, but it would still be quite interesting, personally, to see some of them come to the screen. But that's it, guys. We are all done for another episode. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. Sadly, less Marima, but Caitlin will be returning. And depending on what news drops, we may or may not drag on a guest host with us. But until then, I'm Danya.
I'm Caitlin.
Hey, Danya, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What do you call a miniature Dead Sea?
Deadpool!
Oh, sick. A terrible joke.
Oh, cool.
You're welcome. I'm Marima. I'll see you guys at some point. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.